continue to do well and continue to kick butt at the US Open, which is like the most mom thing I've ever heard in my whole life. Hi everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Compassion Fatigue. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elise.
Oh, we have a fun-filled episode for you guys today.
Yeah, mostly
positive. Mostly positive, yeah.
Yeah, which is new for us.
High five, girl. We, like, rarely have, like, rarely mostly have positive stories.
But here's one bit to start us off that's not quite so positive. PSA for everyone. It has been 26 weeks since Breonna Taylor's murder.
Yeah.
And no arrests.
Fully half a year. We've reached that point. 26 weeks.
Anytime, y'all. Anytime now, y'all. Anytime now.
Anytime, y'all. I would appreciate it. Please and thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, moving on.
Yeah.
To our first story. Which is an update. And I don't know if it's necessarily positive, but it's like a little bit more closure. So a while ago, we covered the fact, or we were mentioning China Mack and appreciating him because of his movement to lead protests for the injustice against this 89-year-old grandma who was set on fire. Her shirt was set on fire earlier this year. So there's been more protests since we've covered China Mack. There's been movements, and like even this what happened in New York, and like there's movements even in LA where they're like, they can't burn us all of that. So there was a lot of protests and a lot of outcry about this, and they finally made two arrests of suspects just like 2 days ago, I think. Mm-hmm. That's about all the information we have, because it was two minors. It was two 13-year-olds that they've arrested for these crimes.
Yeah. Which is really crazy to think that, you know, kids that young would be able to do something so heinous.
Right. And I think that's where it gets so murky right now. Because on one hand, I'm very glad if they are truly, because they're just suspects right now, even though they've been arrested, so I don't want to pass judgment yet. If they were the ones who truly perpetrated this crime, like, they deserve to be punished. At the same time, they're young. So in my mind, I'm like, what was going on? Were they doing this because they thought they had to, for clout or something? Was there some external pressure happening there? Was there, you know, again, it doesn't excuse their behavior, but I guess when they're young like that, it just makes you wonder, like, what was going on? And they had their whole life ahead of them, and why did they have to do something that heinous?
Yeah. Yeah. When you first told me, Elise, about the age of these perpetrators, I was reminded of the Slender Man murders that happened, like, I don't know, probably, like, 8 years ago at this point, where two girls, like, also around that age, you know, committed murder. It's just, yeah, it's scary, it's sad, mostly sad, honestly, yeah. To me.
Yeah, I think just sad in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Anyways, but we wanted to give you a heads up and let you know that there has been a break in the case. They're, of course, not releasing names or pictures because they're minors, but they did let the public know that an arrest had been made. So there we go, we have some closure. Hopefully we'll get justice, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or justice and or rehabilitation for the kids.
Right.
Because they are kids, even though they acted like they were adults. Yeah.
Yeah.
But on to more lighthearted news. But anyway, so this week there have been a lot of talks about the new Mulan. People love it, people hate it. But a lot of the conversation has to do with, like, Asian American representation in media, which is something we've talked about a lot. So I wanted to highlight an awesome thing that's coming up soon. So Sony is producing a new live-action series featuring Silk, who is a superhero in the Spider-Man universe. Silk's real name is Cindy Moon, and she's Korean-American. And she was introduced as, like, Spider-Man, Peter Parker's classmate, who also got bit by a radioactive spider. Sony is producing this and it'll be coming out on Amazon. From what I understand, they are using actual real life Korean Americans. They're gonna
Such a
talk
new
about that
thing.
experience. I know, it's a new thing. It's so like necessary, and I'm really happy about it. I'm also really happy that it's a superhero who is like a female, like a girl,
Right.
and she's Korean American.
Yes. About time, y'all.
So, about time. We need a female superhero.
Right.
That's like awesome. I like Spider-Man. I love the I don't know if you saw it, but the into the Spider-Verse
I did see
movie.
it recently and
Yeah.
really liked
Did
it.
you? Yeah. I like this whole Spider-Man franchise because it's really lighthearted, but then it's serious, and then there's just like the element of comedy that Spider-Man always brings to his movies, no
Right.
matter who is playing Spider-Man. But
Right.
so I'm really happy about this. I'm really glad that Asian American women are getting more screen time. I'm glad that the Marvel Universe is like coming through with that diversity. So, yes.
Yay! Small victories.
Woo!
Or
I'll
not.
take it, girl. It's 2020. No matter how small, I will take these victories.
Yeah. We gotta take what we can at this point, y'all.
Truly.
Anyways, so moving on to our next positive story. For anyone who did not know, same-sex partnerships or marriages are considered illegal in Japan. However, there are now 57 municipalities and two prefectures who have legalized it. And the latest one to join them was Kyoto. So, they're the same, or they are recognizing same-sex partnerships, and you can go get a certificate from like the government office, basically. And as long as at least one person resides in the area, and both are not involved in some other marriage legally. So like you're not trying to kind of get around stuff. But it's a big deal because it allows them to, have certain rights, such as if a person is in the hospital for an emergency, usually because same-sex partnerships weren't recognized in Japan, the partner could not go in and take care of their loved ones. But now things like that will be allowed. Of course there's, tax rights and all this stuff, but like they did it, and they held a little festival on the first when they signed it into law for their municipality. And so yay, big win for the LGBTQ plus community in Japan. Yay.
I think we've mentioned before that, like, in a lot of places in Asia, homosexuality is still kind of like a taboo thing that, like,
Right.
it happens, but people don't like to talk about it. And a lot of LGBTQ plus people don't have the same rights as,
Right.
cis het people. So I'm glad to see that, this is happening. This is great. Go Japan.
Yay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Excited to see that.
Yes, agreed. Okay, so that brings us to our appreciation of the week. This week we wanted to feature Naomi Osaka. She is a tennis player. She is black and Japanese, and she's probably most famous for winning against Serena Williams in the US Open a few years ago. She's awesome. She's very young. She's like 22 or something.
Yeah.
But in her matches recently, she's been wearing personal or customized face masks that have the name that have had the names of Trayvon Martin, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor. And so several of the parents of those individuals have like come out and thanked her for like not letting the world forget about their children and for just like continuing to stand up for the Black Lives Matter movement.
Right.
So yeah, like Sabrina Fulton, who is Trayvon Martin's mother, just said like, "I wanted to thank you for representing Trayvon on your customized mask, and for all this, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts." continue to do well and continue to kick butt at the US Open, which is like the most mom thing I've ever heard in my whole life. And then Ahmad Arbery Sr., who is obviously the father of Ahmad Arbery, said that his family really, really appreciates what Osaka's doing. You know, he said, God bless you for what you're doing and supporting your supporting our family and my son, you know. Yeah. It means a lot to the family.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and about what, and she, I think, has been really, really articulate in her interviews. And so she said, you know, I don't know, I just really wanted to spread awareness, and it's not going to dull the pain, but hopefully I can, you know, help with anything they need.
Right.
So I thought that was just like so humble and so right. nice and so like, you know, just great that she's using her kind of fame and platform and image to represent something that's bigger than her. I right. think that's just so great.
Right. I mean, yeah, she's truly a queen, like amazing athlete, but on top of that, an amazing human, it seems like. And I think it's always good to see individuals with power or privilege or like a podium to stand on, to use that mm-hmm. influence in a positive way. And so like knowing kind of her history with the US, it could be easy to, you know, just kind of be like, that's not me anymore. That's not my country anymore. Not my issues anymore. I got to focus on this stuff. And instead mm-hmm. she was like, no, like I'm going to speak out. I'm going to use my power. I'm going to use my voice. I'm going to use the stage that I'm going to be real honest. Lots of white people watch to remind people that these are individuals that were wrongfully murdered and need mm-hmm. to be remembered. And yeah. I'm not going to let you forget it.
Yeah. Amen. I mean, I thought that it was really great that she chose Trayvon's name, because, you know, his name hasn't come up recently. Well, it has a little bit, but like his unjust murder happened a while ago.
Right.
And so I'm just glad that she's, you know, still representing that, hey, like this still matters. Like, don't forget about this. This is a name that still matters. This is a person right. that still matters.
Right.
So,
yeah. Go you, Naomi. Like, yeah, go play your butt off and win that US Open.
Such a mom statement. It's just so like, you go, girl.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it. So shouts out to her. Yeah, so I know it's a shorter episode today, but like, you know what, I hope it made you smile, because we just wanted to, at some point, bring some light into 2020, and here's our small way of doing so.
Yeah, small way.
Well, don't forget to like and subscribe. Tell your friends. We'll be here as long as, you know, the world keeps spinning, I guess. Which, like, honestly, it could stop spinning at this point. I don't know. Like,
and we would just all fall off the face of the earth.
We'd just all fall off, yeah, because that's how physics works. So, yeah.
I mean, right? Because, like, gravity wouldn't be there anymore. Or, like, wouldn't, like, something stop? Like, would the atmosphere disappear?
I think it would set up a chain reaction of just terrible things.
Someone tell me what happens when the Earth stops spinning.
Yeah. Come back to us. We'll update y'all next episode.
Bill Nye, can you tell me?
Bill Nye!
Anyways. Thanks, y'all. And yeah, maybe we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye. Yeah.
But as a quick outro, I will note, I think I cut it from the previous video, so people might not know, but we're playing Apocalypse Bingo 2020 version.
Yeah.
We got a couple of boxes to tick off now, so.
Oh, yes.
Just saying, that bingo card's getting mighty full already, and I'm... It's only been a month since we made it. Someone was winning this game soon.
What is the reward?
I don't know. What would you want the reward to be?
I don't know, man. It's just something nice. Just, I don't know.
Anyways. Yeah, so a little bit of darkness for your positivity there.
Yeah, who really wins an apocalypse bingo? That's the question.